on, everybody? This is cast. So the players asked where and when. Now it looks like we're finally heading in the right direction. It's been a struggle, a tennis match of proposals between the MLB and the PA, but it looks like we'll get somewhere between 60 and 70 games and prorated salaries. So it looks like we finally have something here.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like they're finally gaining some traction here, which is exciting. It only took 2 months. As exciting as it is, I think the obvious question here is what took so long? You know, the truth of the matter is that the MLB missed a golden opportunity here to have their sport be front and center for the better part of a month, month and a half. You know, the sport as a whole has been losing steam over the past several years. They've been losing fans. They haven't really been able to make changes to gain more fans. They don't do a great job marketing their game, marketing their players. And this was a great opportunity to be front and center and to gain back some of those fans that they've lost, and they missed it. So as exciting as it is, I think it's very easy to point out what was missed here.
Now, obviously, we're not on the inside, but from a fan's perspective, I can't imagine from a media perspective, it's been really, really frustrating. And it just seems whenever a proposal comes out, if the players say A, the owners say B. If the owners say B, the players say C. It's just there hasn't been any concessions, it seems like. And if there have been, they've been very, very small. And so it just feels like this was a negotiation process that was, you know, due to be a very long one.
Yeah, I mean, it almost seemed like, you know, if the owner said, how about we do 60 games and the players come back and say no, the owners would say, all right, well, what if we do 30 plus 30 games? Would that work for you? It's just, you know, like there was neither side was willing to compromise. And I think that at the end of the day, the owners are going to take more of the heat here, and they should, because at the end of the day, the ball's in their court on to get the season going. So I think big miss for the owners, and certainly makes Rob Manfred look bad, as most everything that happens in the sport does.
Yeah, definitely. And a few weeks ago, I was kind of caught in the middle. I was saying, you know, it's the owners, but it's also the players. But in this last week, it's really, really looked bad for the owners. And eventually it came to the players starting that slogan, you know, tell us where and when. And that's basically them throwing their hands up. And that just put all the pressure on the owners, all the pressure on Manfred, who went on ESPN last week and said unequivocally, there will be an MLB season. Then comes back and says, you know, I'm not sure if there is. Then he went on ESPN's Monday Night with the Governors with the five other commissioners in other sports, and just was the only one without a plan. So he's really, really looked bad.
Yeah, he's looked terrible. And I mean, it really looked like we weren't going to have a season. It really looked like that over the weekend. But, you know, as they say, it takes a person to hit rock bottom to realize they need help. And it seemed like it really hit rock bottom there, and the players put together the when and where. And it seems like we're gaining some traction in the right direction. So we will take what we can get. The MLB missed an opportunity, but I will be watching no matter what. And I'm very excited.
I am excited as well, but I'll say that you're 100% right. They're in a dangerous place. It kind of feels like they're on life support. And I found a stat the other day. In the year 2000, the median age of the baseball fan was 50, and now it's at 57, 20 years later. So, you know, and now they've missed their chance of being the only show in town. All I can say is once they get back on the air, you know, in a couple of weeks, a month or whatever, you know, they better let the bat flips go. They better be, you know, this is an audition.
Oh,
you know, they'll have the young fans' eyes. They better make sure it's a good product.
And, you know, in some way, it was almost like they were gifted this opportunity to be the only sport at the forefront for an extended period of time. They, out of any sport, they needed it most. You know, the NBA doesn't need it. The NFL wouldn't need it, because those sports would dominate no matter what. The MLB needed it, and they basically threw up all over themselves and couldn't figure it out. And, you know, you would think that the owners who have been so successful to get to the point where they're owning a team would recognize that, you know, just putting the product on the field could be an investment into the future, but they missed the boat, and it's a real shame because it was a huge opportunity for them.
As baseball people will say, that was a softball down the middle. Is that is that too corny? I mean, it's true. I mean, they had the easy opportunity, silver platter, right down the middle, struck out. They did a Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah, they were given a beach ball. They couldn't hit it.
Couldn't hit it. All right, so we're going to see between 60 and 70 games. It looks like we're heading in that direction. So that sample size, let's dive into how the postseason could look. How many wins do you think it will take to win the division and get the last wild card?
I mean, it's so hard to predict, right? Because first of all, do we know how they're going to be doing the divisions? Is it going to be the same structure and everything? Do we know that?
I can only imagine it just becomes a sliding scale of how many games they have and how many they have to play within the division.
Right. So, I mean, we could see different divisions looking very different. You know, all teams in a division can struggle. We could end up seeing a team around 500 getting to the playoffs. We could also see a team that goes like 50 and 20 or something. But I think what's interesting here is, like, let's look back to last year. A team like the Mariners, who ended up being one of the worst teams in the league by far, they started the season 13-2. So, I mean, if a team like that starts 13-2 or 10-1 or something like that, or on the flip side, if a very bad, very good team starts, I don't know, 5-17, you know, there we have a chance to get some very different teams in the playoffs than we would have been expecting going into a full season.
I mean, to go off your point, the Mariners example, after 30 games last year, they were 18-12. And then they won just 50 games after that, and they finished 39 games back of first place. So, I mean, that's what baseball is. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint, right?
Right.
So cutting these games down into 70, 60 to 70, it just changes the whole dynamic of what hot streaks are, cold streaks. Baseball is a game built off failure, right? They always say if you are going 3 out of 10, you're one of the best players in the game, right? So that's a game mostly built on failure, which means – there's a lot of hot and cold streaks in baseball, and with 70 games on the line, I don't know how long a team has to be able to afford going on a cold streak.
Completely, and that's that will make it fun in a sense. It's going to be very different because in a baseball season, as you said, it's totally a marathon. So we do typically see the best teams rise to the top, but you know with 70 games, 60 games, it's more of a sprint, and teams can really focus, you know, not have to plan for the next game next week. They can focus on winning each and every game. And, you know, that is the worst team some hope, and that's awesome for them. And it could be exciting for the sport, but it's definitely going to be different.
What do you think wins the division? Let's say the AL East, for example. Is that a, you know, 50-game winner? Is that 55, 45? I don't have a great hold on what would get the job done in a shortened season. Do you?
Yeah, I mean, who knows? It could be, you know, let's say there are 70 games, you know, 40 and 30, maybe a – I think with a 70-game season, you'd like to think that a team is going to need to get to 38-plus wins to have a shot, right? 38 yeah. wins would put you at 38 and 32 – you know, that could be a wild card. I don't know, but there could be, you know, who knows, like the Tampa Bay Rays are structured well for a season like this. They have great pitching. They play every team well. You know, the Red Sox have some guys who can get on a hot streak. The Yankees are the Yankees. But like, then where do the Orioles factor in? Like, why can't they do what the Mariners did last year and start the season 11-3? And like, if they're 11-3 to start the season, they have hope. And you know, a bad team gets some hope. At the end of the day, all these guys are major leaguers, and a couple guys are on a hot streak. Who knows?
I think you're definitely onto something with the pitching. And obviously, You know, every year it is, you know, great pitching wins in October, but I think great pitching is going to have to win in July and August too here now. And I think there won't be time to see, you know, how your rotation shapes up. You're going to need guys who can go the distance because you can't tire out your bullpen. And maybe you can, but if you need to fit everything in such a short period of time, with a lot of games, less off days, you know, they're going to be guys will need to go 6 to 7 innings. And you know, you'll see teams that have a good 1 and 2 with a solid three really dominate, I think, and
Complete.
teams who can hit the long ball.
Absolutely. And we've seen how teams have been using their bullpens down the stretch and in the playoffs the past few years, even in the regular season with the starter or the opener. And that's going to be maxed out this season. I think we're going to see teams really, you know, every game is going to matter. You know, there's not going to be that random game 94. That's the back end of a doubleheader where you're kind of just getting through it. There's not going to be that game. Every game is going to matter. And that's going to be fun, and it's going to change the strategy a lot for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you won't be turning on the TV in that game watching, you know, four bench players, you know, take the field, and you're seeing the starters kind of have that chill day. It's going to be, you know, balls to the wall. Guys will be playing probably, I don't know, what, 60 games?
Yeah,
I don't know
I mean
how many games can you afford to give up?
we could see guys playing every single game. We'll, you know, why not?
Yeah, I
Why
mean,
not?
they should be playing over 100 during the regular season anyway. So 70, they really should be playing every game.
Also, I think that you know, the NL is going to have a DH now,
Yeah.
which I'm sure they're very excited about. But you know, that's big too. That's fun. I don't know. It's gonna be completely different. Teams are gonna have completely different strategies. Have a chance. The good teams can't stumble out of the gate. You know, if you think back to prior baseball seasons, you know, oftentimes you'll see, you know, 30, 40 games in, you'll see a bad team who's right up there, and
Yeah.
you know, 40 games into the season now is more than halfway. So.
And listen, I understand that analytics, saber metrics are a huge part of the game. They basically are the game right now. But this may be an opportunity to see some managers, some GMs kind of throw that out the window, right? Like, we don't have time to burn the bullpen out. We don't have time, you know, to find the right matchups on every day. You need guys playing every day, you know, whether they're hot or cold, because they're your best players. And so maybe we will see a little bit of old school baseball come back a little bit, which might be great for the game.
Yeah, and just to hop off that point, I mean, they don't have time for, you know, the streaky Joey Gallo type hitter to start seeing the ball well and start hitting homers. You know, maybe small ball is a thing. Maybe teams are
Yeah.
trying to steal more bases. Maybe guys are really trying to take third base on a ball in the gap instead of just stopping at second and letting the, you know, so
I've been a huge proponent for the game swinging back the other way just a little bit. I mean, I love old school baseball, and that doesn't really fit into what people want to hear, or at least people in the game want to hear right now. But I love a sacrifice bunt. I love guys getting aggressive, trying to take third, guys stealing bases, hitting runs, and you just don't see that anymore. Maybe in a 70-game season. I mean, it's already a weird season anyway. Let's swing it back to the 90s.
I couldn't agree more. I'm always in favor of old school baseball, a suicide squeeze, you know,
Exactly. Give me
taking
suicide
third,
squeezes.
stealing second. Like, who knows? Maybe it's a 70 game season. Maybe we see Trout trying to steal more bases again this year, whereas he hasn't been doing it because of injury concerns and because teams just want to hit the long ball.
And it'll be interesting to see guys who, you know, want to, you know, get the records in the books, and maybe they're trying to break a steals record. Maybe they're trying to up what their back of their baseball card. So I don't know. Maybe they feel the pressure in a shortened season to keep those numbers as close as to where they were.
Absolutely. I also think what's going to be fun about this season is that we're really going to be able to see, you know, there's going to be a scenario, at least with one team, where there's just a guy who gets scorching hot and really like carries a team. You know,
Yeah.
if a guy carries a team to 10 wins over a 2-week stretch, that's huge. You know, so if Harper goes on one of his tears and brings the Phillies to 10 straight wins, in 14 days or something like that, you know, they're right there. And that is very, very possible. You know, you can see Rendon and Trout dominating for the Angels. And maybe we see Trout in the playoffs this year, which I don't care how many games this season. I want to see Trout in
Yeah.
the playoffs. So,
And there's an expanded postseason, which will give the Angels that opportunity. I think at the end of it, MLB Manfred has to be hoping that in this 70-game season, the stars take over, right? I mean, no one has anything to do besides watch the NBA playoffs come back. And then if baseball comes back, that will be really the only things on. I'm not sure where the NHL is at right now, in terms of their start date. But the best thing you can happen is guys are watching Mike Trout, Rendon, Judge, Betts every day. And that's the best thing to happen for them.
completely. They need that. And, you know, I hope Juan Soto is hitting walk-off homers and flipping his huge strikeouts and going nuts on the mound. I hope their bench is clearing brawls once a week. Call me crazy, but that's fun. That's what baseball needs. And, you know, they have an opportunity here to really experiment. You know, it's a crazy season. It's a weird season. Make it crazier, you know, see what works. And take what works with them to next season and beyond. You know, I think the old school unwritten rules rule book that has been so prevalent in the MLB for so long has to be done away with because, quite frankly, as you mentioned, with the average age of viewers, young people are not
They're not
migrating
tuning
towards
in.
the game
Yeah.
anymore. So figure it out, you know, like.
Let's get Jackie Moon in here. I mean,
Yeah.
we need some Jackie Moon experimental marketing ploys right now. And I think if the MLB was ever, scared to unleash a camp certain campaign or not intervene in certain unwritten rules of the game, this is the time just to let it go. I mean, I don't care if a guy flips his bat to third base after a walk-off home run. There should not be any pitcher getting upset about it. This is the game. Let it be. Or have a brawl. Either one. But
Completely.
don't get upset
Listen.
about it.
Send a memo to the umps, have a conversation with the umps, and say, listen, if a guy gets hit and he does the whole tough guy thing when you know that he just wants to be held back so he looks tough, don't hold him back. You know, if the pitcher wants to come and he wants to fight him, let them fucking fight. Let him go for it. I want to see it.
And here's the other thing, and you just mentioned you brought it up with the umpires. I do not want umpires making this a show about them. Do not be calling, these fringe balls and strikes. Do not let these replays take 35 minutes. Because let me tell you, a kid tunes into the game and you're now looking at a replay for 25 minutes for a guy stepping on whether he got the first in time. The kid's turning it off, right? Like no one has
Completely.
that attention span right now. Do not let it ruin. You have one chance. Like they have. Despite what we talked about, they will have the opportunity to have eyes on them. Do not let sabermetrics, do not let umpires, and do not let MLB replays ruin this audition.
Completely. And it makes no sense to me that the 35-minute replays. I mean, baseball is largely a black and
You're
white
safe
sport. You
throughout.
know, who touched the bag first? It's not that difficult. I know that there's a guy in New York looking at all these plays. All four umpires don't need to go in and watch it. Tell him it was he safe or out, and let's move on. Like we don't
I
need
don't.
to.
We don't. Yeah, we don't need the hour look at it, and we also don't. I don't need Angel Hernandez behind the plate. I think when this starts up, I want him at second base. He can take the second base steals and then plays at second, but I don't want him behind home plate.
And
He just seems like the guy who wants the show to be about him.
I think something that could be really fun too is, you know, let's have more double headers. You know, I don't care if you have
Yeah.
to do if you have double headers every other Sunday and each game is 7 innings, you know, like, okay, so it's not a regular 9-inning game, but you know what? Changes are made. You know, the NBA makes changes, the NFL makes changes. They keep experimenting. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but I mean, I'm all for a 7-inning games if it means a doubleheader. I think that's fun. And you know, like
Absolutely.
a shortened game isn't the worst thing for the MLB when half the complaints are the games take too long.
That not only that, but listen, the NBA played its base. It basically played its regular season, right? They basically finished. The NHL did the same. We don't know what's going to happen with college sports and the NFL, but it all looks like the NFL will do whatever it can to get their 16 games. The MLB is in a different position, right? So now they have the opportunity to experiment. The NBA did a little bit of experimenting, but their season was over. They're going into the playoffs. The MLB is going to take on this shortened season, be the first of the sport to do so. So who cares? There's already, people are already going to look at it differently anyway. So let's just try whatever you can to get the sport back on top.
Completely. There's, you know, the MLB more than the NBA or any other season is going to have an asterisk next to the season. That's not to say that the World Series won't be legitimate, because I won't say that, because the Yankees have a good chance to win, and I'm not going to preemptively delegitimize their World Series, but there will be an asterisk because it's a weird it's a weird season no matter what. So just go for it. Experiment. They're already doing that with the NL having a DH, but do more, you know, just do more and see what works. Some things might work, some things won't, but do it and see what fans like, see what the young people like, and see how you can implement it moving forward.
I mean, I couldn't agree more. So hopefully baseball comes back. It looks like this will get done. They're talking about somewhere between 60 and 70 games. There should be a resolution within the next 48 hours. I mean, this is the time to get it done. So we're going to take a little break, but when we come back, we're going to reminisce about what we miss the most about the MLB games, the MLB fan experience, and we'll be doing a draft, drafting the best experiences at an MLB game. All right, we're back with our fan experience draft. Ari had the first pick last week in the NBA draft, so I will be taking the first pick in this one. And with the first pick, if anyone knows me, they know that I love critiquing the manager. It's my favorite thing to do in the sport. So my first pick is questioning the manager's decisions with the fans around me. There's nothing like Aaron Boone coming out to get the pitcher. Everyone starts getting a little upset. They're a little bit grumpy. Some of them are drunk, and we're just beating on Boone. It could be the right decision, could be the wrong one. People are throwing out fake sabermetric terms that they've heard in the past, and we're just getting on Boone. When he takes the starter out of the game.
Yep. Backseat manager. Every fan thinks that they're the best backseat manager in the league. And when you get a section that is all on one wavelength of how they think, there's nothing like it. You know, everybody has the same thoughts. You don't have that one fan saying, no, he's making the right move. He should come out in the middle of the fifth inning. Everyone's like, no, let him stay in and let him get another K. I'm with you. It's a lot of fun.
As we've gone on, you know, since we were younger, early 2000s, and now, first it was, I don't know, this guy's pitch count's getting up there, you know, it's in 120s. Then, you know, we get into the Moneyball era. It's, you know, I don't know about this. The lefty righty doesn't work. I don't know about that. Then you get into the fans just screaming out whip and other stuff. And then now all of a sudden everyone is Billy Beane. So I don't know. I watched Little Big League the other night. I really thought I could do the job, but you know, at that point, everyone kind of thinks they could be the manager. So that's my number one.
Yeah, I get it. So I think that my number one is just, you know, you get to the stadium, you grab a beer, you grab a hot dog, and then you head to your section, and it's just kind of that feeling out of the section. You know, you give a couple nods, a couple acknowledgments to the fans around you. And you're just feeling them out, you know. Are you gonna be celebrating with them? Is it a high five type of section, or is it, you know, just you and your buddies who you went there with? So just kind of understanding the vibe of the section around you, people around you in the section.
You can tell very very early on what kind of person you're sitting next to. I also love, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, if you see someone again, that's also a great experience.
There's nothing better.
Come back to the game, it's like their family. It's like we're at Applebee's, your family.
It's like, you know, seeing it's like getting to camp next year and seeing your bunkmates. It's like, wow.
Exactly.
We're about to have a great game.
You know what the banter's like, you know, you give a little fist bump, how you doing? How's the family? You don't even know that they have a family, but that's the opening line.
Completely agree. There's nothing like seeing a prior fan who you've been with and vibed with at a game.
Exactly. It's like having another buddy with you at the game. All right. My number two, I'm going to go with the pump up music after the big hit and getting in the pitcher's head. There's nothing like someone hitting a big double, drives in two. They start blasting the music. pitcher's a little rattled. Maybe we have to go to a mound visit. Everyone's hitting their seats, sitting the sides of the by the third base, first baseline. And you just it's like a giant dance party. It's great.
Yeah, and you know, hopefully this is happening after a beer or two has been yeah, drank, exactly. And you know, everybody's feeling good. Your team is winning, and you're just saying things you don't even know what you're saying anymore. But everybody is on the same page, and you feel like you are actively playing a role in the 4-run inning.
Plus, you have maybe one of your friends, maybe a guy in your section. He's coming down. He's got a couple of drinks in his hand. He doesn't even know what happened, but he hears the music and he's into it. Yep. I don't know what just happened, but he's screaming. He loves it. Everyone's into it. It's just everyone loves everyone at that point.
It's ELE.
And in the playoffs, it's even better.
Yep. Nothing like it. All right. To my number two, it's breaking the barrier. So this usually happens, you know, there's a big hit, maybe in the third or fourth inning, a home run. And you know, you've already felt out your section, so you know that you're with each other. And then there's a big hit. You know, you've had some beers, and you're just high-fiving. You know, there's like the lean-over hug. You know, whether if you're on the level below, you're kind of up going upwards. And if you're up top, you're leaning over. But there's hugs. There's high-fives. You know, a little bit of beer is probably spilled, but everyone's fine with it because everyone's on the same page. So breaking the barrier, kind of setting the precedent for what the rest of the game is going to look like. There's nothing like it.
Yep. Especially when you get there in the beginning of the game, maybe a nice early first, second inning home run. You're feeling it out. You're understanding what kind of fan is sitting next to me. But by the seventh inning, eighth inning, big RBI, big strikeout, you're just automatically going in for the fist bump, the hug maybe in the playoff. I told you the other day, during the regular season, the fans next to you, they become friends. But in the postseason, it's family.
Absolutely.
It's a whole nother level.
You know, especially if they're fans, you both have maybe a 10-game package. So you know each other. You know, that feeling out process is already done. The barrier is broken, and you go in knowing what to expect. It's like you're sitting on the couch with a bunch of friends watching a game, but you're at the stadium. There's no filter. You can do whatever you want, and you know everybody there is going to support you. The banter's at an all-time high. It's just there's nothing like it.
I don't know what life's going to be like post-corona without the high five. I mean, I don't want to see a world in which I can't turn to the guy behind me, the guy next to me, and just a nice high five after a home run.
Yeah, I don't know what the Zoom sections for watching a game is going to look like. You know, are we yelling over each other? Is there someone? Is the person who is leading the Zoom going to be muting everyone? And it's going to be tough to manage.
I'll tell you what, though. Going back to when we did get to go to the games in person, I was a big high-five guy. But I'll tell you, in the big moments, I was a big grab-you-and-just-kind-of-shake-you kind of guy.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I love
the grab-and-shake.
The grab-and-shake.
The two-shoulder grab-and-shake.
Yeah.
There's not, and then, you know, there's the one guy who wears his hat a little loose. His hat's off his head at this
knocked
point.
Off.
But nobody cares because everybody is in a grab and shake mood. There is nothing like it.
Sometimes you do the two shoulder. Maybe I'll do a lift off. I'll try to get some elevation. The jump while I'm doing the grab and shake.
Yeah, the grab and shake, man. That is, there's nothing like it.
It's a move. That's a move I was taught very early on. And then, by the seventh inning, you're just, without even thinking, you're doing the grab and shake.
Yeah,
in the beginning, you can't do the grab and shake in the second inning. Someone, you'll be thrown out.
High leverage position, seventh inning, you know, the booze has been flowing.
Yep.
The grab and shakes are not even a thought. It just happens, you know?
Yeah. You go from the fist bump to high five or high five to fist bump to the grab and shake. By the end, you're doing maybe a hug if it's a big game at the end after a big W.
Grab and shake into a hug.
Into the hug. That's a great move. So we have those. We drafted those two favorite experiences. Now I'll let you go first on this one. Our least favorite experience at an MLB game. Something we're not really missing right now.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing worse than, you know, you're at a game with a buddy and you have another friend in a different section. Somebody leaves in your section, so you tell them, "Hey, we got an extra seat. Come sit with us." They come sit, and then you just got the guy behind you. You know. You know, Bobby looks a lot. He's just staring at you like, what's this guy doing here? It's like, pal, why do you care? No one's sitting here. It's my friend. And, you know, if that's the case, that also implies that, you know, you felt out your section. It was not a good vibe. There was no barrier broken. You're not high-fiving with them. So this is already after, you know, you're not hitting it off with your section. And now they're just like, they're trying to get your friend out of there. They're giving you looks. So that's something I'm not missing right now.
I got to tell you, can I be a little honest with you here?
Are you that guy?
I can't. No, I'm not that guy. I promise you that. My dad, he may be that guy sometimes. What I cannot tolerate is someone coming into a seat that's not theirs, right? I don't care that it's the first part of it, it's fine. Take if it's open, your buddies are there, come on down, join the fun. I get a little bit annoyed when someone comes in and they're just reckless. They're coming in, they're tumbling over with beer, they're spilling it on me.
Oh,
they don't
absolutely
have the vibe. That I cannot tolerate. That, sir, I cannot do.
There is an unspoken agreement that if you come in to a section and you're the new guy, you know, you come in the sixth, seventh inning and you're the new guy, you have a responsibility, a duty to, you have to go through the steps. You have to feel it out.
You can't have to be initiated.
You can't just come in and be the loudest guy there. You know, you have to be accepted and you have to be patient. You know, you can't force an acceptance. You have to do the grunt work and you have to be there and understand what's going on around you. I completely agree with you.
That's when you'll lose me. Everything else is okay, but if you're coming in, you're standing the whole time, I can't see shit, you're throwing stuff all around, you're screaming in my ear, I gotta say, like, that I can't do. But if you come in and you know your place, you grow with the fans, you grow with us, you're there for the
you have to be accepted. You have these people have been together for six innings at this point, you know? They've become friends, they know each other. You can't just come in and expect to be on that level. It's not how it works.
You don't walk into someone's dinner party and just start screaming out of nowhere. You'll be thrown out.
No, you walk in and you say, hey, would you mind if I grab some food? Is that okay? You know, be polite. Yeah. Ask, you know, can I have some water?
I'm here with Johnny. Nice to meet you. Beautiful home. You got to get accustomed.
You don't just come in and cut a huge slice of cake. That's not how it works.
That's my one exception.
No, you're right. It's an important clarification.
All right. So now that we got that out of the way, I guess I'll end this with the thing I really hate the most is someone listening to a conversation with my friend. They haven't come into the conversation all game. I don't even know the guy. And we're having a discussion maybe about who's leading the division, who has the most RBIs, most home runs. Maybe one of us gets it wrong. I don't think I usually do. But if one of us gets wrong, they come in and they barge into the conversation with some bullshit or they have something to say. That I do not miss whatsoever. Just stay out.
Yeah, completely. Completely. There's an exception there too. You know, it's like if you've been in constant conversation all game, then that's fine. But don't barge in the seventh inning with some unnecessary commentary. You know, like, we're not looking for that. I don't care.
And I'll tell you what.
I don't care if I got this guy's whip wrong, all right?
And let me tell you, the thing that even bothers me more than that is someone who comes into the conversation with some ridiculous statement. If I'm talking about Brett Gardner, people know I'm not the biggest fan of Brett Gardner. He's a serviceable player, very solid. But if we're talking about Brett Gardner and some guy comes into the conversation saying that he's in the running for MVP, we're going to have a problem. And I've heard that before. Do not come into this conversation with some absurd statement acting like you are a friend when we don't even know you.
No, I mean, you're right.
This is not First Take.
You're right.
We're not Max Kellerman over here.
You're right. And these are people you don't want to be sitting with. Don't barge in. You know, knock.
100%. And I've had moments where we're, you know, it's in Yankee Stadium, someone's saying something ridiculous. I turn to my dad and I go, that guy's pretty wrong. You know, I'll turn to my friend and say, you know, I'll never say something because it's not my place unless we're buds and we're in a conversation or we got to know each other for the first couple innings. And I'll say, you know what? I'll disagree with you. But until then, I'm just being, if we're having a conversation or I hear something wrong, it's not my place.
And how about the guy who he hears your conversation and he'll turn to his buddy next to you and speak loud enough so he knows that you hear and start chirping what you're saying. It's like, at that point, I'd rather you just barge in so I can talk back to you. You know, don't do the whole, I know you can hear me, but I'm pretending like you can't thing. You know, don't be that guy.
You have the conversation. You're talking about the standings, who's in first. You say to your buddy, oh, I think the Yanks are 4.5 games up. Meanwhile, they're probably, you know, they're 7. The guy behind you, you know, the standings are really interesting. Yeah, the Yankees are 7 games up right now. It's like, all right, come on, bud.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Really? Yeah. I've heard that a fair amount of times. You're 100% right.
Yeah, it's the classic, I know I'm loud enough for him to hear, but I'm going to pretend like I'm not type of move, and I don't like it.
Yeah.
I'm not
for it. I hate it. So those are the things we don't miss, and I'm sure we could do a podcast on its own about the type of people you'll find at the MLB game. But with that, we got into everything that was going on within the game. We talked about, you know, some of the things we miss, what we don't miss. Hopefully there's baseball soon. You know, give it a month, and then hopefully we have, you know, my dream is that I can turn on a Yankees game, watch a few innings, then tune back into the NBA playoffs to watch, you know, Lakers Clippers.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing I want more than turn a Yankee game on a Sunday, you know, watch the first few innings, doze off a little bit, open my eyes for a second, see the Yankees are winning, doze off, and kind of wake up to watch, you know, innings 7 through 9 and get a little New York at the end.
I got to say, though, with 70 games, I don't know if you can doze off mid-game anymore.
You're right.
Every inning counts.
The fan has the obligation to not take an off day as well. You're right.
Yeah. It's all on us right now, and it's our job to get baseball back to its beloved place in our country.
Yes, it is.
So that's that. We'll be back next week as always. If you would want to comment, feel free at Real Couch Talk, either on Twitter or Instagram. Ari, it's been real. Another great episode in the books.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Looking forward to next week.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right.